Stir up your power, O Lord, and with great might come among us. And because we are sorely hindered by our sins, let your bountiful grace and mercy speedily help and deliver us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory now and forever. Amen. Amen.
A greeting from the book of Zephaniah. Sing, O Lord, aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing as on a day of festival. I will remove disaster from you so that you will not bear reproach forever. I will deal with all your oppressors at that time, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time, I will bring you home. At the time when I gather you, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth, when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Reading from Canticle 9, let us read it responsibly by half verse. Surely it is God who saves me.
I will trust in him, not in my glory.
For the Lord is my stronghold and my sure defense.
And he will be my savior.
Therefore you shall draw water with rejoicing
from the springs of salvation.
And on that day you shall say,
give thanks to the Lord and call on his name.
Make his deeds known among the peoples.
See if they remember that his name is called.
Sing the praises of the Lord, for he has done great things.
And this is not in all the world.
Cry aloud, inhabitants of Zion, ring out your joy.
The great one who is to you is the Holy One of Israel.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians. Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be known, be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come, bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our ancestor. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the crowds asked him, what then should we do? In reply, he said to them, whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none. Whoever has food must do likewise. Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusations, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his thrashing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Good Rose of Sunday morning. This particular Sunday, the third Sunday in Advent, is known as Rose Sunday and Gaudete Sunday. Gaudete is a Latin term which morphed into Old French the word réjouir, meaning rejoice. Our wise church fathers who developed the calendar long ago recognized that joy needed to punctuate this somber, dark season of Advent preparation. And rose is the liturgical color for joy, one of my favorite words, because if there is no joy in what we're doing, count me out. Last year during Advent, I was at Grace Church completing the field work for the diaconate, and before lighting each of the Advent candles, there was a prayer, and today's is this. We light this candle as a symbol of joy. May the joyful promise of your presence, O God, make us rejoice in our hope of salvation. O come, Emmanuel. Beautiful. Joy. Rejoice. The hope of our salvation. I was really looking forward about all of this, about talking about all of this today, but as Thanksgiving passed by and December rolled around, I was really struggling with what God wanted me to say today. The overall theme of my first draft for today was lighten up. You know, the color is lighter than the other colors, and it's this Sunday that we're supposed to take a breath and lighten up during the penitential season. And then as I studied the reading from Zephaniah today, and the canticle from Isaiah, and then the section of Paul's letter to the Philippians, I realized that all the readings for this day are about rejoicing. Gaudete, réjouir. Because the readings today spell out that quite clearly and make us rejoice in the hope of our salvation. First, from the Old Testament, Zephaniah calls us to rejoice and exult with all our hearts in the second line. And the first song of Isaiah says, "We shall draw water rejoicing and sing praises to the Lord and cry out and sing out your joy." It reminds me of Bring Out Your Dead. And Paul's letter to the Philippians even repeats, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." As a matter of fact, that letter mentions joy and rejoice 16 times. I wrote about what it means to rejoice in my next draft. One dictionary defined rejoice this way: to be incredibly happy, to express incredible happiness. Woohoo! I researched rejoicing a little further and discovered that to rejoice is actually an action, not a feeling. So no matter how or what we are feeling, we can choose to rejoice. That doesn't mean we deny our feelings. It does mean that we can choose not to let our feelings take control, because as believers, we are called to joy, not hopelessness and negativity.
Amen.
Good stuff, huh? And Zephaniah, I am sure, was probably not feeling very pleased or happy or even joyful when he wrote this part of what we read today. Zephaniah is a small book. It was written about 2,600 years ago, one generation before Jeremiah, and about 100 years after Isaiah. But it has a powerful message: God's gracious act of salvation. Zephaniah prophesied during the reign of King Josiah, who was a good king, who did what was upright in God's sight. Even though Josiah worked hard to overturn the moral and religious depravity of the previous king, Manasseh, the damage was too pervasive and proved too difficult to overcome. Many consider Manasseh the most evil, wicked, and idolatrous king ever, even more so than Ahab. Manasseh reinstated worship to Baal, instituted an all-inclusive program of idolatry, slaughtered thousands upon thousands, desecrated the temple, sacrificed children to foreign gods. He even sacrificed one of his own children to a foreign god. He practiced witchcraft. He consulted with mediums and sorcerers. He rejected God's sovereignty. But what's worse is he led Judah to forsake God. So Josiah comes in and he tries really hard to change the hearts of the people of Judah. But Judah's idolatry proved to be too deeply rooted to be reversed by his reforms. So Zephaniah issues this oracle. His words were meant to jolt the people out of their apathy, so that they would return to Yahweh as king, to worship Yahweh as Lord of all. You know, idolatry in whatever form it comes in undermines a person's worshiping of God, because it takes the place. It derails our ultimate purpose, which is to rejoice in God's amazing grace, worshiping him as Lord of all. So Zephaniah called the people to respond to God by rejoicing. Even though things were less than perfect and the country was suffering from the debauchery of Manasseh and the pervasive idolatry, well, why should the people rejoice then? Because, Zephaniah explained, Yahweh is with you and will never leave you. So turn back to him. He loves you. The Hebrew translation of verse 3:17 in today's reading gives us the image that God literally spins around with joy over his people, and that he sings and shouts with joy over them. Well, St. Paul, in the letter to the Philippians, repeats the same call: rejoice in the Lord always. Centuries later, that was not a particularly happy time for Paul and the early Christians either. Paul was in prison in Rome, and the Philippians were arguing and struggling with false teachers and becoming selfish and worrying about Paul and the emissary that they had sent to Paul, who was very ill. So Paul focused on what it means to fully participate in the gospel of Jesus Christ. He not only encouraged them to pray and think noble thoughts, he explained to them that despite external conditions and anxieties, they are called to rejoice, that their problems are really avenues used to reveal God working in and with them. If they would view everything as a great opportunity to further God's kingdom, then their problems would look very different. They would be able to be, quote, always full of joy in the Lord, and then choose to rejoice. This is really good stuff.
Amen.
So I sent Father Jim my new draft about rejoicing. And his response? Good, you worked hard on this. I thought, good. I'm a perfectionist. It is a glaring fault of mine. Just ask my kids. So early the next morning, I woke up with a fresh idea and I thought, okay, I am sure that this is what I'm supposed to say. So I sent Father Jim the new and improved draft. I even included references to Christmas being only 12 days away. Ooh. And football. Everybody likes football, right? It was his last response that got me. Good. Now, practicing the next couple of days what you just talked about in rejoicing, and then see where you get.
Oh.
Did I mention that I am a perfectionist? I like everything neat and tidy and tidy the bowl. What could he possibly mean? Practice this and see what you get. I rejoice daily. Everybody notices how joyful I am, right? I think I was even snarling when I said that out loud. And then I got the Jethro slap to the head when I picked up one of my devotionals the other morning. It basically said that my attempts to minimize risk is at odds with my longing to live close to Christ. Seeking to say the perfect risk-free things this morning, I was working hard all right. I was working hard to order the talk so it was safe and predictable and perfect. The next day, the same devotional book started with the words, make Christ the focal point of your search for security. I'm sorry, but he just blows me away. So instead of yearning for a problem-free, aka perfect life, rejoice that trouble can highlight the awareness of his presence. Accept the value of the problems in this life and consider them pure joy, unquote. And there it was, the real connection between problems, our circumstances, and rejoicing and finding joy in all things. If we really know that we are His, and we really trust Him completely, then the problems we experience are actually an intense way of seeing God more clearly. In our troubles, we realize our weakness, and in our weakness, we seek His strength.
Amen.
When the world feels unsafe and unsteady, we grip His hand for support. Living in conscious dependence on Him, we must wholeheartedly relinquish the desire to play it safe, to strive for perfection. Otherwise, we take our eyes off the prize. Totally focusing on Christ means we walk unafraid. We can learn to relax and enjoy the adventure of our journey together. After all, we have an eternity of trouble-free living awaiting us in heaven.
Amen.
Yesterday, there was an Advent retreat here, a quiet day, led by our own Reverend David McDonald. We stepped away from the world to deliberately spend hours in quiet meditation and contemplation of what he called the four R's: repent, restore, revive, and recommit. Why would we do a retreat now at one of the busiest, most demanding times of the year? So that we might walk more closely with him, turning away from the world's frenzy and the crazy, so that we might take time to listen to him instead of the endless chatter of gloom and doom, so that we might add a fifth R, rejoice in the joy of his love for us. The good news of our faith really leaves us no other choice. We cannot help but give our joyful thanks and praise to the source of our salvation and creation. So, what will your response be to the call to rejoice from Zephaniah, Isaiah, and St. Paul? And what is your response to the invitation from Christ to follow him wholeheartedly, whatever the circumstances of your life seem to be? Our unchanging source of peace, happiness, and contentment, our God, remains our rock and our fortress, though our circumstances change. Lesson. Rejoicing brings God directly into the scene, present in the moment when, in our humanness, we can focus on him directly. As we come to the table this morning, let us take our solace and strength and our pardon and renewal, fully rejoicing in the knowledge and love of Christ, because it is a choice. Rejoice!
Amen.
Please pray with me. Lord, thank you for this Rose Sunday, for the chance to retreat and respond to you. You have provided for our every need, whether we realize it or not, and as we prepare for the coming of your Son, help us to hear you singing over us, loving us. Let us be willing to go out on a limb with you, if that's where you're leading us. Because wherever we are with you, we know that is the safest place to be. Increase our faith and help us to rejoice today, filled with the wonder of who you are, no matter where we find ourselves. And make our joy infectious to others as we await your coming. In the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.